Good morning. Thanks for coming to the session. Thank you, Paul, for inviting me. Always a pleasure to be on a panel with Sharon, which we'll be doing again in 2 weeks, I think. I'm going to be talking about biosecurity. I've been working in the area of CBRN security, chemical, biological, nuclear, and radiological security for many years. I won't date myself. The interesting area about biosecurity is, even though I've been focusing on the issue of securing biopathogens to make sure they don't get into the hands of non-state actors, increasingly in the U.S., the area of biosecurity is merging with the area of public health, particularly animal and human health. And there's a lot that's actually going on in the international community on this issue. Something I'll talk about, which is the Global Health Security Agenda, which is an effort that the U.S. is leading with 44 other countries to address issues like Ebola. And it's an agenda that came out and was launched in February, was launched before Ebola came out, but because of the action plans that 44 countries have been agreeing to and working on, these are kind of things that if, in fact, they were in place, they would have definitely reduced the chances of Ebola getting to what it is today. So I'll go into that. But first, to start with the issue of biosecurity. Why is biosecurity important? In the world that I work in, as I mentioned earlier, my focus is about preventing WMD terrorism. So my goal is to ensure that biopathogen, chemical precursors, nuclear material, radiological sources are secure and that they do not get in the hands of those who may want to use them to do harm. And so a lot of the work that I've been focusing on has been focused on that, and at the State Department and also in other departments in the U.S., like Department of Defense, that also funds this work. We have people traveling around the world, and we see the lapse in terms of safety and security all around the world in biopathogens and issues related to security and also to security culture. So a lot of the work that we fund is to try to strengthen those weak points in terms of laboratory systems, in terms of individuals walking in and out of systems without any protection or knowing who's going in and out, ensuring there's gates around the buildings, ensuring that the refrigerators are locked up, things that we all do, hopefully we all are doing and taking for granted, but making sure that those around the world are also doing those things. So a number of things that we do, and here I just list some of the things that we do at State Department and also Department of Defense, as we fund biosecurity and biosafety, is we are building surveillance capacity for biosecurity, biosafety, disease surveillance, and cooperative scientific research, providing financial assistance for management workshops, trainings, repair and maintenance of repair equipment, or supplementing existing research activities, and increasing biosafety and biosecurity awareness and best practices. And you'll see there's a list of countries that that we are engaged currently from Sub-Saharan Africa, the Middle East, North Africa, South Asia, Eurasia, and Eastern Europe, Central Asia, Central and South America. We have also increasingly gotten into funding work in disease detection and control, which is a reflection of the fact that we're doing a lot more work in the area of public health. We are increasing interconnectedness of global economies and dramatic proliferation. We're noticing that because of that interconnectedness, we have to underscore how the public health concerns of one country are intimately tied to the public health concerns of all countries. We fund field epidemiology training programs. We fund work in disease diagnostics, surveillance, and capacity building. We also do work in science and technology agreements where we foster R&D and capacity building through bilateral agreements. We provide training grants for attending training activities, conferences, and workshops. We provide research collaborations to foster additional research projects between scientists of a country of interest and U.S. scientists or other scientists around the world. And we also fund the creation of biological safety associations, where we create national and regional forums to bring all relevant actors together, whether they are scientists, engineers, technicians, or policy makers, to set standards and conduct trainings and certifications to recognize the importance of biosafety and biosecurity. In the past few years, as I have mentioned, there's been more of a convergence in the area of security and health. There's been a recognition that reducing the risk presented by natural, accidental, or deliberate origin requires the use of all instruments of national power and close coordination among the many sectors of government and outside of government as well. And this interest has been both domestic and international. Paul mentioned an initiative that I'm involved with called the Global Partnership, which has 27 members from around the world. And this effort is focusing its biosecurity work in the area of global health security and promoting more public health discussions in what's been traditionally a security-focused initiative. In 2009, we had probably one of our strongest manifestations of how we are trying to connect health and security. It noted in the document that I'm going to bring up in a little while that since 2001, the U.S. government has expanded its efforts to improve the nation's ability to recognize and respond to acts of bioterrorism and other significant outbreaks of disease. However, we have to target these efforts a little more strategically and to ensure that we have policy that's actually capturing the convergence of health and security. And so the strategy that was launched in 2009, the National Strategy for Countering Biological Threats, complements existing policies, plans, and preparations to advance our ability to respond to public health crises of natural, accidental, or deliberate origin. In 2011, President Obama at the UN also noted the importance of working together to prevent and detect and fight every kind of biological danger, whether it's a pandemic like H1N1, a terrorist threat, or a treatable disease. In addition, what's been going on is the One Health approach, which has been an effort to bring together both animal and human health issues. What I put up here in front of you is what comes from the CDC as examples of the importance of One Health. For example, it notes that human populations are growing and expanding into new geographic areas. As a result, more people live in close contact with wild and domestic animals, and close contact provides more opportunities for disease to pass between animals and people. International travel and trade have increased, and as a result, diseases can spread quickly across the globe. So while all this has been going on, while there's been an understanding of the connection between animal and human health, while there's been much more of a connection between health and security, and a recognition that we need to work together within the U.S. government with all the relevant departments to address accidental and deliberate infectious disease threats, we launched what's been called the Global Health Security Agenda, which is an effort by nations, international organizations, and civil society to accelerate progress toward a world safe and secure from infectious disease, whether it's natural, accidental, or deliberate. We're promoting this to be a priority of the U.S. government and to spur implementation of the international health regulations of the WHO. The vision, as I said, is to attain a world safe and secure from global health threats posed by infectious disease, where we can prevent and mitigate the impact of naturally occurring outbreaks and intentional accidental releases of dangerous pathogens, rapidly detect and transparently report outbreaks when they occur. The overarching target is in the next 5 years, the U.S. will commit to work with at least 30 countries, and right now we have 40, to prevent, detect, and effectively respond to infectious disease. A vision, a world where all 7 million people are effectively protected. And keep in mind, this was launched before Ebola happened a few months ago. Also, why global health security? We know, as I mentioned earlier, we are an increasingly interconnected world where we all remain vulnerable. And you see up here, there's a number of diseases and the costs associated with all of these diseases, which also highlights why we as a global community need to work together to try to reduce the instances of infectious disease. The Global Health Security Agenda was also an effort to try to bring together several of the existing national strategies that deal with public health and with security. For example, the National Strategy for Countering Biological Threats, which I noted, the National Strategy for Pandemic Influenza, the National Strategy for Biosurveillance, and implementation plan for the National Health Security Strategy of the United States. So what we notice is that there are risks, as I mentioned, there are opportunities, social commitment, new technologies, and there are priorities. We have to prevent wherever possible infectious disease, detect rapidly, and respond effectively. On February 13th at the Health and Human Services in Washington, D.C., we launched the Global Health Security Agenda. It was hosted by Secretary Sebelius at the time of Health and Human Services, and it was attended by Assistant to the President Lisa Monaco. We had over 30 participants from around the world at the Health and Human Services on that day, which was a closed day. It was a snow day, actually. We decided to go ahead and have the event in any case. And we also had a video feed from Geneva, where we had Director General Margaret Chan from WHO also host a number of ambassadors with her to also be a part of this launch. And we also had video feeds from other parts of the world, such as New Delhi and in Rome. Secretary Sebelius also highlighted that in the 21st century, we have the tools to greatly reduce the threat posed by global epidemics. We can put in place a safe, secure, globally linked, interoperable system to prevent disease threats, detect outbreaks in real time, and share information expertise to respond. So as I said, on February 13th, we had the launch, and there's a list of countries where we had the video feeds. We had 33 countries in Washington, and all three organizations, the World Health Organization, the Organization for Animal Health, and the Food and Agriculture Organization, all represented. And you'll note up here, February 6th, we had a meeting with NGOs as well, just to ensure that we were able to reach out to those outside government who play such a role in the global health security agenda space. As I mentioned, it's a 5-year effort focusing on prevent, detect, respond to infectious disease. It's multi-sectoral in the sense that it includes health, security, development, and defense. It has all the relevant departments involved. For the NSC, the White House is leading it, but it has HHS, CDC, State, Department of Defense, FBI, USAID, and USDA. It's multi-society, in fact, that we're reaching out a great deal to NGOs, and highlighting that it is, in fact, an international effort. Following the launch in February, we had a meeting in Helsinki, which is the first time we had what we're calling these commitment packages, or action packages. And I will get into those in a second. We also had a discussion on GHSA at the World Health Assembly. And then in Jakarta in August, we had another international meeting with a number of countries, over 44 countries, talking about global health disease, global infectious disease. And then we had a big meeting at the White House on September 26th, where President Obama and the 44 countries who have made commitments to these action packages met to talk about the importance of global health security agenda. In front of you, you have, as I said, the buzzwords are prevent, detect, respond. And in front of you, you see the different ways in which we have broken down each one of these areas to address infectious disease. For example, under prevent, we have promote national biosafety and biosecurity systems and reduce the number and magnitude of infectious disease outbreaks. Under detect, we have develop and deploy novel diagnostics and strengthen laboratory systems, train and deploy an effective biosurveillance workforce. And under respond, we have develop an interconnected global network of emergency operation centers and improve global access to medical and non-medical countermeasures. And all of these will be reflected in what I'm calling the action packages, of which there's 11 action packages that reflect the detect, prevent, detect, respond. And each one of these action packages have country leaders and contributors, and they break down exactly what the 5-year goal is for each one of these actions under prevent, detect, and respond. The action packages is where you take the words that are said by our leaders and make them and implement them. As I said, there's over 11 action packages. We have over 100 new commitments from countries. And all of the countries who are part of this effort are either leaders or contributors or both to different action packages. And in addition to setting out what each action package is supposed to achieve in 5 years, it also has targets and it has how do you measure success for each one of these packages. It focuses on specific coordinated actions, it highlights measurable approaches, and provides the mechanisms where countries can work together on these efforts for the next 5 years. And each one of these action packages, we have worked with all of the relevant international organizations, WHO, FAO, OIE, and also Interpol, which is not mentioned. On September 26th at the White House, 44 countries announced over 100 new commitments reflected in the action packages. And you see in front of you all of the representation from the U.S. at this meeting. It's probably one of the few meetings where you've had so many secretaries at the same time. You had President Obama, but of course you also had National Security Advisor Rice. You had Assistant to the President Monaco, Secretaries Burrell, Secretaries Kerry, Secretary Hagel, and also Tom Frieden, Director of the Center for Disease Control, in addition to the President of the World Bank. And they all came together on this day to talk about the importance of GHSA, the importance of working together to reduce infectious disease threats. And, of course, by this time we had Ebola, and so there was even much more of a recognition of the importance of the global community trying to address issues together so that you don't have these kind of Ebola situations in the future. This is President Obama making his statement at the event about the importance of preventing outbreaks by reducing risks, and to detect threats immediately when they arise, to respond rapidly and effectively when we see something happening so that we can save lives and alert larger outbreaks. NSA Rice made a number of comments that also connected Ebola and the importance of global health security agenda to try to reduce in the future these kind of epidemics and infectious disease situations becoming what they have become. And then, of course, Secretary Kerry, I put some of his remarks up there, talking about the Ebola epidemic severity is just one symptom of an even global development. In the short term, yes, we need emergency containment, but in the long term, we need to help the hardest hit countries build the kind of health systems and infrastructure that will allow them to prevent, detect, and respond rapidly to the next infectious disease and to any other outbreak. These are the participating countries to GHSA, and these are the 44, but I put down that ongoing discussions are going on right now to include additional countries into this five-year effort. The action packages I mentioned already, each one has a package leader. We've established a GHSA steering group of 9 countries that's going to work this issue for the next 5 years. It's going to have rotating members and rotating chairs. And right now, Finland is the chair of the steering committee. And there's also going to be working level teams to ensure implementation. That's the model of the steering group. I should also note that there's advisors from WHO, FAO, and OIE. In addition, NGOs are also going to play a role as advisors to this steering committee. There's going to be an annual ministers meeting on GHSA. Actually, ROK, South Korea, has already come forward to host the next ministers meeting next year. There's going to be also other meetings on the sides of others, on the margins of other meetings like the World Health Assembly. And then there's a lot of activity already going on with action package leaders with other countries who are working with them on those action packages. There's been a lot of work with NGOs, and one of the reasons I'm here is because I'm talking to, you know, spread the word about what's going on in Washington and how what we're doing is we work with 44 other countries and why, you know, you're working on public health, and so much of this that we're doing involves public health, obviously. And so we, the very beginning, as I said, the first meeting we had was not with the other countries, but with the non-governmental stakeholders on February 6th. And we've had a number of meetings with them. Last week, representatives from Finland and from Indonesia were here and met with a number of NGOs. So we are very much engaging with NGOs as a part of this effort. Here is a picture. We had a big meeting on the 25th, the day before the 26th, in the White House meeting with NGOs. We had representatives from the White House, from the WHO, and we had a number of panel discussions broken down by prevent, detect, respond to show how NGOs are already involved in a number of the activities that are reflected in the action packages. We have a steering group for the NGO stakeholders. And this is just a list of all the meetings that we've had so far. We are reaching out to foundations. We had a number of meetings with them. We've met with the World Bank a couple of times. We're probably going to be hosting another meeting with foundations following up next year. I'm just going through some of these quickly. We've also launched a next generation group that is also looking at this issue, but allowing our young professionals to start getting together and talk about global health security agenda. But even more, it's allowing our those individuals who are looking at animal health and public health and development and security to start working together to develop a generation that will work more closely and across the cultural lines. Just a last couple of things is recently at the G7 summit in this year, there was a focus on global health securities where they committed to support the global health security agenda to accelerate progress toward a world safe and secure from infectious disease. And also just last week at the G20, there was a discussion on Ebola and the global health security agenda where we talked where the G20 leaders committed to proactive steps to end the Ebola epidemic and to assist others to achieve needed health security capacity to prevent, detect, and respond to future outbreaks before they become epidemics. And the U.S. looks forward to working with governments and non-governmental partners around the world through the Global Health Security Agenda, which I've been reporting. This is a picture of President Obama, and Melvin Corker is one of the individuals from Liberia who survived Ebola, and he was at the meeting on the 26th, so I thought it'd be a nice way to end the presentation. I just want to do one more thing before I go. These are the action packages that I was talking about. These are the 11 action packages of which a number of countries have signed on as leaders or contributors. I just want to say, just want to read a couple of them so you can get a sense of what they are. There's one called Prevent 2, which is on zoonotic disease. This is the five-year target is adopted measures, behaviors, policies, and our practices that minimize the spillover of zoonotic diseases from lower animals into human population. Measured by identify the five zoonotic diseases, pathogens of greatest public health concern, and strengthening existing surveillance systems for prioritized zoonosis. Desired impact, implementation of guidance and models on behaviors, policies, and practices to minimize the spillover spread and full emergence of zoonotic disease into or out of human populations prior to the development of efficient human and human transmissions. The country leaders are Indonesia and Vietnam. The contributing countries are Georgia, Kenya, Sweden, United Kingdom, United States, and Yemen. And then they have five-year action items, which I won't go into. I'll just do one more. Let's see. Maybe I'll just, instead of trying to do that, I'll just tell you what they are. Prevent number one is focusing on antimicrobial resistance. Prevent number two is, as I said, zoonotic disease. Prevent three is focusing on biosafety and biosecurity. Prevent four is on immunization. It focuses on a functioning national vaccine delivery system. Detect one focuses on laboratory system action packages. Detect two is real-time surveillance. The next detection is reporting, timely and accurate disease reporting according to WHO requirements and consistent with FAO and OIE. Detect five is workforce development, which is workforce including physicians, veterinarians, biostatisticians, laboratory scientists, farming, livestock professionals, and at least one trained field epidemiologist per 200,000 population who can systematically cooperate to meet all relevant IHR competencies. Respond 1 is emergency operation centers. Respond 2 is linking public health and law enforcement. Respond 3 is personal development action package and medical countermeasures. So I'm sure those of you in the public health field know a lot about these particular issues, but I just wanted to give you a sense of these are the packages that the 44 countries are working on. They're signed up to some. Some are leading, some are contributing, but they each have a five-year target, a measure, how you measure it, who are the leaders, who are the international organizations working with each one, And so they really give the action package leaders enough to work on for the next 5 years as they work with the contributing countries, international organizations, and any new countries that will come on board. So I think that's it. That's a lot. Sorry to throw that on you, but there's a lot going on that you may not know, but actually happening out there. And we're working with a lot of countries. And the thing that is most interesting is this all happened before Ebola came before Ebola actually happened. And so it really, if nothing else, it really made us realize how important it is that we work globally to work together to prevent, detect, and respond. So thanks.